njiani abade kwanza zote zikuchewa zikuchewa oweza kupona kupona tula tula tofana.
Welcome to our worship this morning on Mission Sunday. Luann will be leading us, sharing with us on her trip to Malawi this past summer. The choir will be singing a song, and it's hymn number 866, and it's from the church in South Africa. We're not going to quite sing quite like they do, but hopefully we'll get some of the flavor of what that song has for us. Does anyone have any announcements?
Just a quick update. I found out on Friday afternoon that the furnaces will be installed on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, as long as everything goes well with Cedar Falls Heating getting their other jobs done. So I don't know what the amount was in the savings account at this time, but I'll try to get that update for you next weekend or next Sunday. So
and talking about a busy week next week, we're having the carpets cleaned in the Fellowship Hall wing. So starting on Tuesday, everything will be out of that room so the Fellowship Hall carpet can be cleaned. That's a large room, and that's all that will be done on Tuesday. Then this person who works for Steam Team will be coming back Wednesday afternoon to clean all the upholstered chairs and the short hallway that goes along by the kitchen, so that would be restricted access in that general area. And as he's cleaning the chairs, we'll be moving them back into the Fellowship Hall at the same time. Then he's planning to come back on Friday to do the long hallway in front of the offices. And we chose that day because there should not be any activity here in the church that day as far as staff being here or visitors coming. So in case a funeral comes up, it's a job that can be easily put off until a later date. So just be aware of the fact that be limited activity down there. And I know the Bible study group that meets on Wednesday morning, you'll have to make your coffee down in the fireside room. Okay? Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Please join me in prayer. Most gracious and generous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the continuing care and grace you have poured out upon this congregation. Help us to understand the importance of responding to and celebrating your unending care. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm here today to emphasize the importance to all of us of our Consecration Sunday worship next Sunday, October 15th, and the celebration brunch that follows from 10:30 to noon at UW Stout. The catered brunch is free and no offering will be taken there, but reservations are required. So if you have not already done so, please complete a reservation card today and save our team a phone call. We will have rides available next week, so if you have a concern about getting there, don't worry about that. Just let us know next week that you would like to ride with someone and be returned here. As Luann and Barb have mentioned here on recent Sundays, I also encourage you to experience the spiritual growth that comes from committing a certain percentage of your income to Jesus Christ. It not only recognizes God's generosity to us, but also helps both you and your church to do a better job of planning. During the 9 years when Marilyn and I were raising three boys on a 5-acre place on a gravel road in Indiana. Our church home then was 18 miles away. Although those were very tough economic times, we felt blessed to be able to raise kids and chickens in the country. Through the infamous blizzard of 78, several unplanned job changes due to the economy, and a house fire, we repeatedly experienced God's care through that congregation, and we committed to begin climbing those stair steps of giving that Barb shared with you last week. In the past year, a most difficult one for me. I have been blessed and upheld repeatedly by God's work through your hands and your prayers. Thus, I've learned again it is not an expense, but a privilege to continue growing in financial support for this ministry. This year, children are welcome at our Consecration Sunday brunch, and there will be no Cosmo Sunday School, so please indicate separately on your card, and the ushers can begin to pass the cards out now if you need one, and you will need one if you don't want a telephone call. Indicate separately on your card the number of adults and the number of children age 10 and under. Just raise your hand if you need a reservation card. Complete and return it to an usher now while Lou Ann is playing a little tune that reminds us of what we're here for. Or you can return it to me after the service, and you pretty much all know where I will be after the service. So we do hope to see you here next week for both the service and the consecration brunch. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Update of the call committee. We were able to do our first round of interviews last week, and we were really impressed. So we have a hard job. We have interviewed 7 candidates, and we are trying to narrow that list down, and they have not made it easy. So we'll be getting back together this week and pouring over what we learned from them. We get to listen to some sermons from them that they have sent to us, and we will hopefully be narrowing that list down this week, and I will let you know next week how we're doing. Okay, so keep us in your prayers. Thanks.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, "All Creatures Worship God Most High."
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
The peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by your inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. Our psalm this morning is from Psalm 80, verses 7 through 15. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have brought of Egypt, you cast out the nations, planted it. You cleared the ground for it, it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea, and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar of the forest have ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine, preserve what your right hand has planted. Our second reading this morning is Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Congregation, may be seated.
So before we have the children's message, I just have a few words to share with the congregation. I asked Jane Amble to look for what the history of our companionship, how it got started with Malawi and with the Balaka Parish. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit and what our role is with that as equal partners. And then I'll have a short children's message just talking about the similarities and differences in our worship. So when she looked back, we found in 2001 and 2002 some of the missions committee minutes, and it had a description of staff from the Northwest Wisconsin Synod Resource Center making a presentation to this committee on our synod's relationship with the Lutheran Church in Malawi. And then there were also announcements of workshops for congregation leaders on the topic of twinning our synod congregations with those in Malawi. And then later on in 2002, there was announcement of our new arrangements with Malawi. And that was pretty much all that we found for that. Then we had some photos from 2004 when Bishop Berg at the time had visited our companion congregation. Then in 2011, there was a companion synod covenant signed. And just the highlights of this covenant were that the purpose of it is to share our common humanity and life of faith. And our companionship is one of mutual trust in which we accept one another as equal companions. We walk together side by side, kuenda limodzi. And then it lists some, this isn't everything, but that companion relationship lists some of the expressions of our covenant relationship, which are to pray regularly in our worship life for our companions in our mission and ministry, exchange communications, exchange visits, including both clergy and lay members, share our God-given resources and gifts with our companions, and celebrate the relationship annually on Companion Synod Sunday, the first Sunday in May, which that was news to me. Didn't realize we were supposed to be doing that. Then fast forward to 2015, Dick Tyson and I traveled to Malawi, and we saw most of the northern part of the country on that trip. And now, 2017, I went back, and I actually had the opportunity to visit our companion parish, which is Balaka Parish, in the southern part of the country. So now I've seen most of the country between those two trips. So if the children would come forward now, I have a few things to share with you. And I'm thinking maybe just don't go all the way up to the altar. Sit on the floor here so you can still see. I've got some photos to share with you and a few questions to ask you. So how many of you can tell me different ways that people in our congregation get to church on Sunday? How did you get here today?
Car.
Any other ways that people get here that you've seen? What do you know?
Walking.
Walking, right.
By bike.
Right. And that's the same way that people in Malawi get to church, but a little bit different. The pastor, how did Pastor Dave get here today, do you think?
He ran all the way.
I don't think he rode a motorcycle. But the pastors there ride motorcycle to the congregations. In our parish, the pastor has actually 14 congregations. So he doesn't get there every Sunday. And he has lots of places to go, so that's his form of transportation. Vehicles, there are some vehicles, but I found out in Malawi, the vehicles per 100 people is between 8 and 9. So most people are not riding to church in a vehicle. In the United States, the vehicles per 1,000 people is about 800. So that's a much more common form of transportation for us. Walking is another common way that they get to church, or riding bicycle. And you'll oftentimes see more than one person on a bicycle. The bicycles are made for that. There's kind of a seat on the back. And in this picture, you can see there's someone driving and then a lady with probably her child also riding on the bicycle. The buildings there are similar to ours, but they're different also. This was one church. So their building, they had some bricks and they had a thatch roof, and that was about all that they had. Most of the buildings are made out of bricks, and we actually helped to make bricks for them to build a new building. Here are some other buildings. So you can see they're mostly brick. It's hard to see the one on the bottom, but the one on the bottom is our companion parish also, another building there, and they've got all the bricks done, but they don't have a roof. So hopefully we can help them with that someday. Kitchens, everybody knows about the kitchens in our church. We have two kitchens, and they're very beautiful. These are a couple of kitchens that I saw. The one on the left is at our companion, one of our companion congregations. So there, they prepared a meal for us, and they prepared it over an open fire. So that's their kitchen. And then the one on the right was probably one of the fancier ones that I saw, because they actually have, I don't know if you can tell, but in the back through that door, they have running water. They had problems with it. They had to build a room. They built an addition onto the church where that water faucet is, because they were having problems with the water being stolen. But it's actually a separate room with a door. Whoops. Here's some other buildings on the left. This was part of a church I saw in Blantyre, and on the left, That's the what they called the Sunday school area, which I think is just a storage area. And you can see they have some mats on the floor and some stackable chairs. And so usually they will have the children sit on those big mats or sit in chairs, and they'll have Sunday school outside because it's a lot warmer there. They don't have the snow like we do. And on the right, that's really hard to see. There's a little brick building. I don't know if you can see it. That's the bathroom. And that is basically, the bricks are there for privacy, and it's a hole in the ground, and that's what they have for a restroom. They have, in their services, they have kind of the same things that we have. It's the same structure. They'll have scripture readings like we had today, and then they'll have a pastor who gives a sermon. They call their pastor Abusa. That's the name for pastor. And here you can see their pastor wears the same kind of collar as our pastor. That pastor is translating for the guests that we had with us. And they have choirs, but their choirs, I never saw them use any music. If you noticed watching before the service, the choir director will kind of tell them what they're going to sing and quietly sing it for a little bit. And obviously they've rehearsed it so they know the parts. And then they sing it like what you saw before the service started. Then the other thing that they do, a couple other things they do, they have a children's message, but they have the children's sermon during the same time as they have the grown-up sermon. And what I noticed is during the service, all the children would sit up front kind of like you are now, except they had a nice mat for them. And any children, even the smallest children, they would take care of each other. And if one of the little ones got fussy, they'd try to comfort them. And if that didn't work, then they'd take them back to mom or dad. Pastor Dave didn't want me to tell you this, but they get to have their children's sermon outside during the main sermon, so the kids aren't listening to the main one. And then another thing that they do a little bit differently, you know, they have liturgy and singing, they have choirs, like I mentioned, but when everyone leaves the service then at the end, they all walk outside, and the choir will sing one more song to send everyone on their way. So that's how they end their services. So that's all I had for you today. Thanks for coming up. And I'll have more information at the brunch presentation. I have some videos of the actual greetings that they gave us and what I said to them at our companion parish, and they show us some of the things that they do in their congregation. I'll be showing you some of the gifts that I took for them, so I hope you'll stay for the brunch as well.
The choir will sing hymn number 866, We Are Marching in the Light of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Luann, for sharing with us, for bringing the Word of God to us in action from a place far, far away, and yet our sisters, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in talking or in his what he wrote to the Philippians, is talking basically about two different kinds of races that we have in life. The one that the world would recognize as a race toward success, a race toward where everything keeps getting better and better and better, and where the emphasis sort of turns in on us and the things that we have done. Like in the gospel reading we had for today, where the landowner had built a beautiful vineyard, planted it, and then he went so far as to build a wall around it, put a watchtower in it, dug out the place where you can squeeze out the grapes. I mean, he had done all the work, and then he leases it out to tenants. But the tenants aren't satisfied with being just stewards of what's given, had been given to them. They wanted to make it their own. And so they went to the extreme measures of killing the messengers that had come from the master. And the master finally takes it away from them. And what Paul is saying is looking at life that way is like having a bunch of zeros before a number. Because all of those zeros mean nothing. They may be impressive from the part of the world as the world looks at it. But Paul says that for us as Christians, they have no meaning at all. But it's what happens after we have come to faith in Jesus Christ that becomes important. And you notice how, as time goes by, these accomplishments or these things that we do, even after, you know, after we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, they become, you know, what we have done becomes less and less important. And why is that? Because this number isn't just a number. It's a person. And it's Jesus Christ. That once we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, everything changes. All of our values change. What was important to us before no longer is. And it's a struggle for us. Because we keep wanting to go back and to borrow some of those things from the old way of looking at life. When I went into the ministry, I was at a congregation in Tennessee, and about 10 years before, a mission congregation had started in Texas, and it had grown phenomenally. And so everybody in the church started looking toward what had happened in that congregation, and they said, well, it must be the way they're doing things. And so we want all of our pastors, we want all of our congregations to do things like that congregation, because it's going to mean that we'll be successful. We will grow as fast as they did. And so everybody had to use the methods, the things that that congregation had done. And what they found out was it didn't work so well. Because that congregation, as they finally looked at it, realized That congregation was in the fastest growing suburb of the United States at that time. Not only that, it was placed at a crossroads. You know, they bought land at the perfect place, and so lots of people went by it regularly. And so the congregation just naturally grew, and the pastor had the kind of personality that really attracted people. And so using the method that that pastor used in that situation didn't do much for the congregation in rural Nebraska that was sitting out in the middle of the field. It didn't do much for the congregation that I was at in Tennessee, because the mission department had determined that when we're going to start a congregation, we're going to have to buy at least 6 acres of land, because we're really going to grow. And in the community that I was at, to get 6 acres of land, they had to go 5 miles out of town. And people down in that part of Tennessee really had never heard of the Lutheran church before. And so for us to come in but be way out of town didn't work out very well at all, because we were so far away from the people of the community. Sometimes we'd like to be like the big boys, the big girls, the big ones. And there are times when God says to us, you know, I've called you for one purpose, and that is to make disciples of all nations. How do you do it? Well, you baptize and you teach. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he never told them, now, I want you to be successful. I want you to really, really, really grow, so everybody takes notice of you. But rather what he said was, I want you to go out so people take notice of me. And so we've got that message to carry out. There have been times when this congregation, as I understand it, was quite a bit larger. 2 full-time pastors, I don't know how many other people were on the staff. And everything looks so great. And then sometimes along come some things that humble us. The Apostle Paul, as he started out his lesson for today, said, you know, if you're going to be using these zeros before Jesus Christ, before the number, before the central one, I'd be at the top of the list. I am an Israelite, the chosen people of God. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. That's where King Saul, the first king, came from. And as far as the law goes, my word, I keep the law better than anybody. I'm a Pharisee. Not only am I a Pharisee, I've made it my life's practice to go out and to find followers of the way, or followers of this Jesus Christ, and to arrest them. And he says, okay, if that's what it takes, I'm at the top of the list. But I count that, since I have come to faith in Jesus Christ, I count that as nothing. Probably the highest point in ministry that the Apostle Paul ever came to was when he was in the city of Athens. You remember the story? They had all these altars to all these gods. And they had one that was said, and this one is to the unknown God, just in case we have slipped up and forgotten one. That's who this altar is dedicated to. And so Paul comes and he says, aha, I'm going to tell you about that God, the God you don't know. And so he talked very eloquently about his faith in Christ. And after it was over, the people said, that's really interesting. How about you come back some other time and talk to us? For them, it was just hearing one more philosophy, one more theory about life, like all the other theories that they had heard. And we don't hear ever of a church being formed in the city of Athens in those days. And so at the times when we might think of ourselves as doing things in the perfect right way, God's plan for us is to be humbled. We think of the Apostle Peter when he was with Jesus and the disciples the night before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus says to the disciples, "Tonight you're all going to turn away from me. You're all going to run away." And Peter says, "Not me. I'm going to stand by you to the end." But it wasn't but a couple hours later, and Peter gets tripped up. Not because somebody's holding a sword to him and saying, "Hey, either you deny Jesus or we're going to kill you." But rather by a servant girl just saying, "Aren't you one of Jesus' followers?" And Peter lost it. And he said, "Never heard of him. Never knew him." They threw a few choice words in as well. Peter had to be humbled a few times in his life, as each one of us have been humbled a few times in our lives. At times, we would like to be both a follower of Christ, but being seen great in the eyes of other people. And Jesus says to us, you can't have it both ways. If you are my follower, then I become what is important to you. And then you realize that all that you have is mine, a gift. I've only asked you to be a tenant, a caretaker, a steward of that. But I want you to return to me what part is mine. And so we're here these days, these weeks, pointing toward Consecration Sunday. And we ask ourselves each day, how is it that I can help to make disciples of all nations? How is it that I can help in reaching out to the young and the old who haven't heard of Christ, who haven't been baptized? How is it that I can help out with teaching, first in my own home, with my own children, or my grandchildren? Or reaching out perhaps to the neighbor's children and saying, "Hey, you want to come along with me sometime to worship, to Sunday school?" It's a lifelong calling, but it's a calling that we undertake with joy, as we did and as a choir did in singing the song for you. We're marching in the light of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This morning, we will take a few moments to dedicate the prayer shawls which have been made and are given out to those in need, those who are ill. And for those who have received them or loved ones that have received them, you know how special they are. And as someone said to me this morning, those shawls have already been blessed 1,000 times with the prayers said over them by the person who has made them. This morning I would like to hold one up for our dedication of the prayer shawls, the blessing of the prayer shawls. Let us follow along in the bulletin. Gracious, loving, and healing God, bless these shawls that they might be tangible evidence of the love and prayers of this congregation. Bless the ones who will receive these shawls. Give them comfort, peace, healing, and strength. Remind them that they are loved and never forgotten. We ask your blessing on all who are lonely, sick, and suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, the gentle healer. Amen. We rise and join in singing, "My Song is Love Unknown."
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us praise God with our offering. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Restore what is broken in your church, loving God. Heal divisions among Christian communities. Give courage to leaders facing hardship. And open our ears to the prophet's cries among us. Hear us, O God. Restore what is broken in creation, gracious God. Revive farmlands and vineyards. Protect waters needed by all living things. And move us to care for this earthly home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Restore what is broken in our world, mighty God. Quell the rush to violence between the peoples and nations. Break down dividing walls and promote growth for the sake of the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Restore our broken bodies, O God. We pray for those suffering any loss, the grieving, those who have lost homes or property.
the imprisoned, those neglected or abandoned, and the sick, especially Maxine, Bob, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon, Carolyn, Emerson, Lavera, Maxine, Ray, Sandy, Sean, Lavone, Sam, our companion congregation in Malawi, and all those who serve in our military and their families, our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes, and the victims of the shooting in Las Vegas. Hear us, O God. Restore our faith in you, saving God. We pray for Bible study and small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, musicians, devotion writers, and for all whose work nurtures our faith. Hear us, O God. We remember the saints whose devotion proclaimed your saving help. In company with them, root us firmly in your everlasting love. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We join in singing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you.
Go in peace. The gospel has renewed our faith.